Hello and welcome to the Thursday, January 26th edition of Juno Afternoon, coming at you live from KTOO Studios in downtown Juno. Jeff Brown is the producer and engineer of the show, and we've got a great one. We'll be chatting with people from the UIS Alumni Activity Committee. We will be chatting also with people from Hospice and Home Care about a fundraiser coming up. And then Carl Bertison will be here to talk about World Quest, a Juno iconic activity. And then we'll end with Nancy DiCerni with Arts Up. Stay tuned.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. The Standing Rock Sioux Tribe is calling on President Trump to allow for the completion of a full environmental impact statement involving the Dakota Access Pipeline. The review is already underway with the public comment period. Trump signed a memorandum Tuesday seeking to expedite the review and approval process. Standing Rock Chairman Dave Archambault says the tribe has asked to meet with Trump about the project. He says the tribe's not opposed to energy independence, job creation, or economic development, but says the problem with the Dakota Access Pipeline is it was done without proper tribal consultation. The chairman is also asking supporters upset about Trump's move to take the fight to Washington and to voice concerns with political leaders. The tribe has asked people camped in North Dakota near the reservation to vacate and make plans to go home, but some demonstrators say they're heading back to the camp following Trump's action. As Lee Strubinger reports, demonstrators took to the South Dakota Capitol Wednesday.
Around 50 protesters gather on the steps of the South Dakota Capitol. The message: South Dakotans, both tribal and otherwise, will bear the brunt of a pipeline spill if the Dakota Access Pipeline leaks. The message comes one day after President Donald Trump signed a presidential memo greenlighting the Dakota Access and Keystone XL pipeline projects. Several activists are calling for a return to numbers near Standing Rock. Cheyenne River Sioux Tribal Chairman Harold Frazier says a new camp is expected to form near the current camp.
We intend to take some equipment to clear the land out so where people could camp and start getting ready. So I would say probably by this weekend we should be. But we do have members that still do not want to move from where they're at today, and that's fine. We've always said as long as we have someone there and they want to stay, we're going to continue to support them. So there's a few of our campers that don't want to leave that bottom area, but we warned them it will be flooding here.
Other tribal leaders say there are other ways people can fight the pipeline. The Standing Rock Sioux Tribe passed a resolution last week urging campers to leave. The Great Plains Tribal Chairman's Association is set to hold a meeting next week to discuss the Dakota Access Pipeline and Keystone XL Pipeline, as well as other environmental projects across treaty land. For National Native News, I'm Lee Strubinger in Pierre, South Dakota.
In Canada, an environmental group is questioning why it took the Saskatchewan government 3 days to announce a 50,000-gallon pipeline oil leak at a First Nation. Meanwhile, efforts are underway to clean up the spill and excavate the site. More from Dan Karpinchuk.
The spill on the Ocean Man First Nation in southeastern Saskatchewan took place last week, but wasn't reported until Friday night. Reserve leaders say one band member who worked in the oil industry detected the smell of oil days before the leak was discovered. That person eventually found the site of the spill and reported it to officials. For now, Chief Connie Big Eagle says everyone is cooperating to ensure that the spill is properly cleaned up and there is no further damage to the land or to the environment. The pipeline has been shut down and about 40,000 gallons have been recovered in a cleanup by a Calgary-based company, Tundra Energy Marketing, which owns the pipeline and is also paying for the cleanup. Big Eagle says several older pipelines also run through the area.
Wear and tear causes things to break down. I'm hoping that the company will be around to deal with the after effects or any residuals that arise from this incident.
The spill at the Ocean Man Reserve is almost as big as the pipeline spill last summer in the North Saskatchewan River. That spill forced several cities along the river to shut off their water intakes, and for 2 months they had to find other sources of water. There are 540 people on the Ocean Man Reserve. For National Native News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk.
And I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanak Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. When you file online for your PFD, every Alaskan can support great causes like National Native News. Just select KNBA-FM Kewaunik Broadcast Corporation. With one donation at a time, good things will happen all over Alaska. And by the law firm of Sanosky, Chambers, Saxe, Miller & Munson, advocating Native American interests throughout the United States, with offices in New Mexico, California, Alaska, and Washington, D.C. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
It is 6 minutes past the hour. You're listening to Juno Afternoon on KTOO. As I said earlier, Jeff Brown is the producer and engineer of the show. He is at the board. I'm Joan Pardis, your Thursday host. And right now it is 41 degrees and light rain. Tonight we're looking at showers before 9 p.m. and then rain after 9 p.m. Tomorrow, rain before 3 p.m. and then showers. So it's all different variations of rain. Looks like high near 42 tomorrow and low around 37 Friday night. And then we're looking at around 40 on Saturday. So thank you for sharing your day with us at KTOO in Juno Afternoon. Our first guest is Jessie Post. She is here, part of our UAS corner. We usually have this on Thursdays, and she is the Alumni Relations Manager at the university. Welcome.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Joan.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about the alumni relations out at UAS. What is it?
Yeah, well, first of all, the Alumni and Friends Association is a nonprofit organization, and the purpose of our organization is to communicate and advocate for the university's mission. And so we do that several ways. We put on fundraising events to raise money for student scholarships. That's a big piece of what we do throughout the year. We also just want to keep alumni, and like I said, alumni and friends, the dues-paying membership. So we have over 7,000 alumni, but then we have over 300 alumni and friends members that we communicate with, and we share information about the university, what's going on, keep everyone updated. But our goals are really to keep people connected and engaged with the university.
Sounds great. So what I'm hearing is that you don't necessarily need to be an alumni to support this organization.
No, it's actually a really simple way to support the university, is just by becoming an alumni and friends member. It's a small way to support UAS and the Alumni Association, and it's all about connectedness and just keeping everyone connected. The university is a really vital piece in our town and in Southeast, and so it's just a nice way to keep the university here is by showing your support and just understanding what's going, keeping up with what's going on at the university, especially these days.
Sounds great. So if you wanted to become a member, how much is membership?
Yeah, well, membership, if you're a recent graduate, it's $15. But for everyone else, it starts at $35. It's an annual membership, and then it goes up from there. So we have up until lifetime memberships, which are about $450. So.
Right. That sounds lovely. So what's on the horizon? What kind of activities do you have cooking?
Yeah, well, I guess this weekend, the first thing we have is our annual alumni meeting, which involves our board of directors, but it's also the meeting where we invite our alumni members. And so it's just where we get planning for the rest of the year, what kind of events we'd like to put on, and just do some business-related things. And that's this weekend, Saturday the 28th. On campus. But then I'd say the next big event that we have is our biggest fundraising event that we put on annually is our spring auction and dinner. It's catered by Abby's Kitchen. I don't have ticket information just yet, but there's a member and a non-member rate, and we get great donations from the community, and we have just a really lovely time in the Egan Library. Alumni and friends and community members are all invited.
That sounds great. What a lovely place to have a party, too.
Yeah.
So what date is that?
That is going to be Saturday, April 1st in the evening in the Egan Library.
Oh, that'll be nice. That'll be nice. We'll have some light by then, and it will be really nice.
Right,
perfect. More light.
Yeah.
A little more light every day.
Right. Those seconds and those minutes count.
They do. So how can people find out about UAS's Alumni Association? Is there a website or a phone number?
Oh, yeah. There's definitely a website. So if you go to www.uas.alaska.edu/alumni. And that has all the information about our association, and we post upcoming events on there, and there's more detailed information on the website.
And do you have a Facebook page, too?
We do have a Facebook page, and that is UAS Alumni and Friends Association.
Sounds great.
Yeah.
Okay. And what if somebody wants to call you and get some information? Is that just the campus number?
You know what? They can directly call my office, which would be 796-6569, and
right.
They can reach me there.
Sounds great. And so, Jesse, before that April 1 fundraiser at the Egan Library, come back and let's talk about the great auction items you have and so on and so forth.
Yeah, it's great. It's wonderful. Our board president usually is the auctioneer, Lieutenant Dave Campbell, and we also have dessert auction and then, a wonderful variety of packages ranging from simple things to really extravagant gifts and donations.
Auctions in Juneau are kind of fun.
Yeah.
They really are. All right. Well, thank you so much for coming into town and talking about what's going on at UAS and the Alumni Association. Come back anytime.
Yeah. Thanks, Joan. Appreciate it.
All right. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Thursday, the 26th of January, 2017. It's the birthday of the endocrinologist Hans Selye, born in Vienna, 1907, who did important work on the subject of stress and its effect on the human body. In fact, he worked very hard on it, working 10 to 14 hours a day, every day, including weekends and holidays. Hans Selye, who said, "The element of chance in basic research is overrated. Chance is a lady who smiles only upon those few who know how to make her smile." His advice about stress, he said, "Make sure that both the stress level and the goal are really your own choice, not imposed upon you by society. For only you yourself can know what you want and how fast you can accomplish it." It's the birthday of Mary Mapes Dodge, born New York City, 1831. Her husband committed suicide, and she needed to earn a living. She set out to write, and she wrote a famous children's book called Hans Brinker, or The Silver Skates, came out in 1865, a big bestseller. And then she went on to edit the children's magazine St. Nicholas, which encouraged young people to submit stories and poems. And among the writers who first published their work in St. Nicholas were Edna St. Vincent Millay, Eudora Welty, Edmund Wilson, F. Scott Fitzgerald, and Ring Lardner. It's the birthday of Sean McBride, born in Paris, 1904. He's the son of Maud Gonne, the woman whom William Butler Yeats was in love with and wanted desperately to marry. Sean McBride's father was Major John McBride, an Irish nationalist and patriot who was executed for helping to lead the Easter Rising, the 1916 rebellion, trying to force the end of British rule of Ireland. Sean McBride joined the IRA. He fought in the Irish War of Independence, was imprisoned by the Irish Free State, and when he got out of jail, he went to law school, worked as a lawyer for human rights cases around the world, investigating abuses by governments against civilians, especially ones in times of war. He was one of the founders of the human rights group Amnesty International, and for that he was given the Nobel Peace Prize in 1974. Here's a poem for today by Alden Nowlin, Subway Psalm. It's the first storm of the winter and the worst since 1888, the girl on television said. I keep slipping in my leather-soled shoes, Twice I've turned into a windmill in my efforts to keep from falling. At the top of the stairs leading down to the subway, Johnny watches me not just with his eyes, but with his arms and legs. He'll do his best to save the old man. That's how I must have looked at him when he was 5 or 6 years old. Now he's 26, and it seems we've traded places. "Why are you laughing?" he asks me. The honest answer is, "Because you look so funny, standing there like that, my beautiful son, and because I've loved you for such a long time, and because this is the finest storm I've ever seen, and everything is exactly as it should be." Upon Alden Nowlin's subway psalm from What Happened When He Went to the Store for Bread, published by the Thousands Press, and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation, publisher of Poetry Magazine, now available on iOS devices, subscriptions available at poetrymagazine.org, and by the Association of Writers and Writing Programs, celebrating 50 years of support, advocacy, and community. Learn more at awpwriter.org. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Support comes from the Alaska Robotics Gallery, offering art that features narwhals, squid, and flying whales, located at 220 Front Street in downtown Juneau. More information at alaskarobotics.com.
It is 17 minutes past the hour. It is also Thursday, January 26th. You're listening to Juneau Afternoon. It's a live show coming at you from Alaska's capital city, specifically the KTOO studios. And our next guest in the studio, Jeff and I are hosting, Joni Pico and Erin Walker-Tolis. They are here to talk about a Catholic Community Service gala fundraiser. Hello, ladies.
Hi there.
Hi, Joan.
So what is going on?
Well, we're super, super excited because it's our first ever, well, it's our first annual ever gala. So we're trying to reach out to the community and share who we are and invite people in to have a wonderful, fancy evening. We got as close to Valentine's Day as we could. Mm-hmm. So black and red and white, and our theme is how sweet it is to be loved by you.
Oh, how cute. So what date is it?
It's February 4th at 6 o'clock at Elizabeth Paratovich Hall, and it is formal. So, you know, we're a lot of talk at the office about what we're going to wear. And
a lot of talk at the office about what we're going to wear.
Yeah. So live music. We have singing. We have Luke Wells is going to be playing the piano. Annika Morgan is going to be singing. And we're going to have the Fleet Street Band there playing music for dancing.
Oh, it sounds like an lovely adult evening.
It's going to be.
Okay. So all proceeds go to the Catholic Community Services.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. And the tickets are how much?
$100. And it's $750 for a table of eight.
Okay. I know that tickets are selling quickly. Do you still have a few seats left?
Absolutely.
There are tickets that we still have, and you can find them on our website, www.ccsjuno.org, or you can call Nathan Lovick, our fund development coordinator, at 463-6145.
That sounds great. So who's catering the event?
The Baranoff.
Oh, how lovely. It sounds really, really lovely.
It's going to be fun. We have Blue Butterflies doing a photo booth with props and stuff. And we're also going to have a raffle on site, must be present to win. And Joni, you want to talk about the raffle package?
Our wonderful Annika Morgan has been gathering things for the raffle package, and she's made it very romantic. And a few gift certificates that are going to be in the basket are Wings Airways and Taku Lodge trip for two on a float plane to Taku Lodge, Alaska, a night at Alaska's Capitol Inn bed and breakfast, one night stay, and, oh, I don't want to mess this up, Zeralda's Bistro, the new restaurant,
really
$100
yummy
gift certificate.
Oh, wow, that's a great package.
I want to mention that our Master of Ceremonies is the wonderful Andy Klein.
It should be fun. Juno Afternoon host. You could listen tomorrow to see who Andy's talking with, but Andy's always a load of fun.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sounds great.
Yeah, and we're looking at this not just as a fundraiser, but also as a way to reach out to the community and let folks know who we are. I mean, Catholic Community Service, not everybody knows all of what we do. And so we also want to take the opportunity to reach out and tell people, because Hospice and Home Care of Juno, that's Catholic Community Service. Caravan, the Juno Senior Center, the Adult Daycare Center at the Bridge, the Child Advocacy Center, Child Care Assistance Program for all of Southeast Alaska. I know I'm forgetting plenty of programs, the Senior Caregiver Resource Center, Case Management for Seniors. I mean, we have a ton of programs, over 20 programs. And folks don't always know that that's all Catholic Community Service. So we'd like to reach out and invite people in to learn about us and spend time with us.
Erin just came back from a very exciting event in Saxman.
Yeah, in Ketchikan. We've been in Ketchikan, serving the Ketchikan Gateway Borough since 1974, and have had a senior center there since then. But we have moved from Water Street, which, you know, downtown, with the cruise ships, but we've moved over to Saxman. Tlingit-Haida Regional Housing Authority and Saxman Tribe are partnering with us, and we had an open house because we just moved last month. And it was standing room only. It was so wonderful. The native singers were there, and the elders sang for us. And as we ate and spent time together, and it's so exciting to see the community come together around our seniors and support one another. The partnerships are really, really seem like they're growing right now, and it's a very encouraging thing.
Yeah, that sounds wonderful. And I had no idea. I was familiar with some of the services that Catholic Community Services did, but not all of them. So thank you for sharing that.
Absolutely.
And if people want to learn more about Catholic Community Services, do you have a Facebook page or a website?
We do. We have our website is ccsjuno.org, and we do have a Facebook page as well, which is Catholic Community Service, Inc., and we do post on that Facebook page pretty regularly. We're trying to come into the modern age, trying to get out of 1993 and move into 2005 and, you know, move forward on social media and stuff. So, yeah.
In planning for coming on the radio today, we were talking yesterday, and one of the things that we really wanted to share with the public is that we see ourselves so essentially as part of a network of care, and that we're all, you know, we're all one in this. And we wanted to mention something else, just a little more serious of an issue, is our bereavement services. And we want to make certain that we are having people know that our services, our bereavement services, our counseling is free for anyone in the community. You do not have to have any past affiliation with Hospice and Home Care of Juno or with Catholic Community Service to access our bereavement services through Hospice and Home Care.
Oh, wow, that's great. Mm-hmm. So before we even go any further, what is the contact number?
For our main number is 463-6100. And Joni mentioned just now that bereavement is for anybody in Juneau who's experiencing a loss. But I should point out, some folks make the assumption that just because we are called Catholic Community Service that we're for Catholic people, or that we're going to proselytize and talk about Catholicism to people. Really, this is all about charity. The whole reason we do this is because we want to reach out to everyone in the community, regardless of their faith or their orientation or their belief system, how they live. We're here to help, and that's all we're here to do, is just help. And we want to do that any way we can, and even if we can't help, we want to make sure that we get folks to people who can.
That sounds wonderful. I know personally that it's a fabulous resource. So you heard it here. But also what you heard is that the first annual gala is happening Saturday, February 4th. Go ahead, ladies. Tell us all about it one more time before you go.
It's going to be romantic. How sweet it is to be loved by you. Live music, dancing, heavy hors d'oeuvres. It sounds like an odd thing, but heavy hors d'oeuvres are going to be a buffet. And just a really fun, formal, but fun time. And we just want everyone who at all possible wants a romantic evening out. I know there's not a lot of places to go in Juneau for Valentine's to celebrate. This is your opportunity to get sort of gussied up and come celebrate with us.
And support a great local resource.
Absolutely.
Internally, we're all excited because we're having a chocolate fountain. Is that right?
There is. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a chocolate fountain. There's going to be a lot of good food there. So even if you don't dance, come for the food.
That sounds great. And so it's 6 to 11 on the 4th. And how do people get tickets?
go to our website at ccsjuno.org. You can buy them online, or you can call Nathan, and I'm going to let Joni say the number.
463-6145.
Okay. Well, thank you, ladies, for coming by today and also all that you do for our community.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate it.
Thank you, Joan.
We're going to take a short break, and we will be right back.
Thank you, baby. Yes, I do.
How sweet it is to be loved by you.
Feels so fine.
How sweet it is to be loved by you.
I close my eyes at night, wondering where would I be without you. Thank you, baby. Oh, yes.
How sweet it is to be loved by you.
It's just like sugar sometimes.
How sweet it is to be loved by you.
Whoa. Yeah.
It is 27 minutes past the hour. You're listening to Juno Afternoon. Our next guest is Carl Burdison, and he is here to talk about one of the iconic Juno events, World Quest, put on by Juno World Affairs Council. Welcome to the show, Carl.
Thank you for having me. Yes, yet another fantastic fundraiser in Juno.
Sounds good. That's what we do here at Juno Afternoon. We talk about fundraising. So first of all, let's talk about World Quest. So it's what I think of as the Juno iconic event. It's the 13th annual, yeah. But let's say not everyone knows what it is. So what is it?
It is trivia night on a grand scale at Centennial Hall with dinner included and an opportunity to buy things at a silent auction.
Okay. And when you say trivia night, what kind of trivia?
It is so hard to pin that down without just giving 50 example questions. It's a mixture of everything. It's not, you know, who is this? And the answer is Justin Bieber, although we did have that question once. But we followed up immediately with who's he standing next to, and it was, you know, Stephen Harper, Prime Minister of Canada. It is just a wide, varied mix of interesting questions and trivia, random things, world affairs, recent things, distant things. It's just fun.
That is so interesting, because you see how people have impressions that might not be correct about iconic mm-hmm. events. So I would think there'd be no pop culture whatsoever. I went to World Quest a couple of times, and I left thinking it was geopolitical. So it's kind of interesting that there's pop culture questions, too,
yeah.
Which probably stymies most of Juno, which would be great.
Well, it's a mix. You want everyone to leave feeling happy and yet a little frustrated.
There you go. And also a little proud of themselves.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
So there we go. So let's talk about the who, what, where, when, and when. Here, too many ones. But when is it?
It is not this Friday, but the Friday next on the 3rd. It's at Centennial Hall. It's at 6 o'clock. Mm-hmm. And tickets are available always at the door. But if you want to get one ahead of time, which we always encourage, you can go to jwac.org and through them find the Vendini link.
Okay. And Christina Apathy, who works here,
yes.
And Jesse Keel, who is almost at every possible event, is going to be the hosts.
Yes, they are MCs this year. We're very grateful to have them.
They'll be fantastic. And tickets are $65.40 for students.
Yep, or 30 for 15 and under. There's a third category, too.
Excellent. And so what happens if you don't necessarily have a team? Like, do you need a team? How big is a team? Can you go by yourself?
Your team is your table. So you just walk in and find a spot that you want to sit, and then the team will just sort of coalesce around you. And so don't let that be a limiting factor. We want to get folks up to 8, but it just happens on its own.
Okay, great. And then what can people expect? Is there food there, or is there a...
Yep. We're catered by the wharf. It's a full dinner, and there's snacks, and there's a dessert auction as well. So just about the time that your dinner is wearing off, it's time to go and get dessert as well. So there'll be plenty of great sugar options available.
To keep you going.
Oh, yeah.
That sounds great. And let's talk about the host of this organization. That's the Juneau World Affairs Council.
Yes.
Can you speak a little about that organization?
Yes, I have two very handy pre-prepared paragraphs, if I may. Mm-hmm. The Juneau World Affairs Council is a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization. Our goal is to encourage dialogue and understanding of important international, economic, political, and social issues through expert presentation, informed discussion, and other educational activities. We bring the world to Juneau.
That sounds great.
In pursuit of this goal, JWAC organizes presentations, lectures, and panel discussions for the benefit of our community. Speakers have included ambassadors, professors, business leaders, politicians, explorers, activists, and more. And all of our speaker events are free and open to everyone.
And this is the fundraiser to support all these activities.
Fortunately, it's a fun fundraiser.
It is a very fun fundraiser. That's great. And so if people are listening right now and they're saying, oh, I need to get my ticket, where would they do that?
JWAC.org, JWAC.org. You can always Google us. And then always at the door. This is Juneau. You can always get tickets at the door.
It's true. And so does the organization have a Facebook page too?
We do. I'm not the person who's responsible for it. And so
if you look for it, it will be there.
If you look for it, it's there. Yes. I'm a Luddite in some ways, and that is one of them.
Okay. I don't think that's your reputation, Carl.
It's
that
a real myth, but thank you kindly. That's nice of you to say.
Okay. So you heard it here. It's trivia night on the grand scale for Juneau. It's at Centennial Hall. And while you might think that Juneau owns this event, it's actually a national event, isn't it?
It is, yes. So the Juneau World Affairs Council is part of the World Affairs Councils of America, and they're the ones that created WorldQuest and decided that it should have a capital Q in the middle and no space, which just stymies everybody who tries to write it down. But we write our own questions.
There's a little piece of trivia for you right then and there.
Yes, that it makes all the difference, let me tell you.
Okay. And then who picks the questions?
There's a handsome young man who makes all those decisions. That would be me. Sorry. Ego much? No. Can I tell you the story of that?
I would love to hear the story.
Years ago, the first time I ever attended WorldQuest, I was brought on by a board member to be the ringer. And at the end of the night, I made the difference on literally one question because they were so sort of out there and esoteric that there's just no way to answer them. And my favorite example I like to give is, what was the GDP of Micronesia in 1970? And not only do you probably not care, all the questions, it's multiple choice, all the possibilities were within $10 million of each other.
And what was it, though?
I don't even remember. That's the point.
Okay.
Like it was impossible to divine your way to the correct answer or to even get a 50-50 guess at it. And so I went up afterwards and actually commented on an unrelated matter about a way they could display the scores to make them a little easier to understand. And they just looked back at me, the scorekeepers, with a glint in their eye and said, you have shown interest, young man. And next year I got to write the questions.
You write all the questions.
Write all the questions, yeah. Which is nice. It means that there's an entire section on Alaska. There's a year in review. I mean, it's very sort of locally homegrown, I don't know, organic free range. It's all the good things. I mean, it's what you'd want a trivia night to be. It's not just a canned event. It is written specifically for Juneau.
How many questions are there?
About 50. It works out to 50 points. There's a couple lightning rounds that go faster, but, you know, 4 lightning round questions is the equivalent of just 1 standard question. So let's say 50.
Okay, and then a few more questions. So if you're the writer of all these questions, tell me your favorite question from last year.
Oh, from last year?
Or any year.
Any year. I don't know if I could come up with the grit, the details of it, but it was a question about international sporting events and which ones were real and which ones were not. And I appreciated the explanation of it afterwards, that there actually are world air guitar championships and world sauna championships and things of that nature.
It sounds like a fun job,
it really
girl.
Is. It's exhausting, though. It takes weeks to put all these together. And the hardest part is coming up with plausible and or humorous incorrect answers. That takes ages.
Is it multiple choice?
Oh, it's absolutely multiple choice.
Oh,
yeah,
I don't remember that.
Yeah, we wouldn't throw people to the wolves like that. You can pick between the 4 options.
Huh. That does sound like a taxing job.
It is. I love doing it. The problem is you keep going down the Wikipedia rabbit hole every time you go to confirm something or start a particular question. You realize 2 hours later that you've been reading about things that you're not going to write a question on. But boy, that was interesting.
That was really fascinating. Yep. Okay, so you heard it here. Carl Bertison is responsible for all those questions.
Sorry, everyone.
At WorldQuest.
Thanks for coming.
It's coming next Friday. Get your tickets. It's really fun, and it's a great fundraiser for a really great community partner that does brings the world to Juno, as you said. So thanks for coming by.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Well, she sneaks around the world from Vienna to Carolina. She's sticky-fingered filcher from Berlin down to Belize. Taking for a ride on a loafer to China. Tell me, where in the world is
Carmen Sandiego?
Steal their soul in South Korea, making nothing come triumphal from the Red Sea to Greenland. They'll be singing the blues. Well, they never Arkansas heard steel. The me come from the jungle. Tell me,
where in the world is
Carmen Sandiego?
She goes from Nashville to Norway, out in Zimbabwe, Chicago to Czechoslovakia and back.
Well, she'll ransack Pakistan and run a scan in Scandinavia. Then she'll stick them up down under and go pick pockets first. She was the rinse and misdemeanor when she stole the beans from Lima. Tell me, where in the world is
Carmen Sandiego?
Oh, tell me where in the world? Oh, tell me where can she be?
Botswana to Thailand, Milan, Dia, Amsterdam, Mali to Bali, Ohio, Ohio.
Around the globe, banks should flip them every nation. She's a devil-stealing diva with a taste for thievery. Her itinerary's loaded up with moving violations. Tell me, where in the world is
Carmen Sandiego?
Oh, tell me,
where in the world is Carmen Sandiego?
Tell me,
where in the world is Carmen Sandiego?
Where could she be?
Where in the world is Carmen Sandiego?
This is Bird Note. You're listening to the sounds of winter in the subtropics. We're in the lower Rio Grande Valley of Texas, where the Rio Grande borders Mexico. And here, birds commonly found in Central America reach their northernmost range. A green jay, the very picture of a tropical bird feathered in green, yellow, and blue, offers its varied voices. Now, a secretive white-tipped dove calls eerily from the forest floor. A tiny flycatcher with a very long name, a northern beardless tarantulate, sings a distinctive refrain. Nearby, an Audubon's oriole seems to sound like a child just learning to whistle. Black-bellied whistling ducks demonstrate that they are indeed ducks that whistle. While the large, chicken-like plain chachalaca shouts loud enough to drown out all others. As night falls and the subtropical birds go quiet, an eastern screech owl trills. The bird sounds for today's show come from the Macaulay Library at the Cornell Lab of Ornithology. For Bird Note, I'm Mary McCann.
JDHS Theater Department is proud to present Broadway's Greatest Farce. A funny thing happened on the way to the Forum. Don't miss this downtime musical romp through Rome where there is something for everyone. Desperate lovers, scheming neighbors, and secrets galore. Playing at the JDHS Auditorium, January 27th, 28th. February 3rd and 4th at 7 p.m. and February 4th at 2 p.m. Tickets available at jahc.org or Hearthside Books.
Hey, Juno, have you heard about Aware's 40th birthday celebration? That's right. Aware is celebrating 40 years of providing services to Juno and the Northern Panhandle. The party happens Saturday, January 28th at the Rockwell Ballroom, where Susu and the Prophets will rock the house. So get your tickets at the usual places, and we'll see you on the dance floor at Aware's birthday party and fundraiser, January 28th, 8 p.m. at the Rockwell Ballroom.
Welcome back to Juno Afternoon. It's 20 minutes to the hour. Jeff Brown is the producer and engineer of the show, and Nancy DeCherney has left the very busy Jack to tell us what's going on. You've got a gala going on tonight,
don't
you?
We have a whopping bunch of things going on. Goodness gracious.
Never a dull moment.
Never a dull moment. This has been a particularly wild week.
Let's hear about it.
Well, let's start with what's happening tonight. It is the Governor's Awards for the Arts. It starts
Yay.
Off with a VIP reception at the Slam, and you can get tickets at the door, I believe. That begins at 6, and at 7:30 is the actual award ceremony, and that is over at the Jack. As I said, the governor will be there making the presentations to a really wonderful collection of people who've made a lot of contributions to the state, including Bob Banghart and Ernestine Hayes from here, yay, Lonnie Hotch and Charlotte Fox, and I can't even remember the whole list of people, but Frank Susan. Anyway, it's a really wonderful opportunity to be uplifted by the
and
creativity.
Such a cross section of artists.
Yeah,
too.
Just and there, you'll get to see the young man that's been painting the murals. He's an entire collection of about 8 of them in the Jack, and all together it's really pretty amazing. He's painting one on the backside of our building. And I had said, you know, well, we have weather here, like it could be a weather problem. And he said, well, he was from up north. They have weather, too. But today he acknowledged defeat, and he's going to come back in the summer and finish it.
This morning was a very good example of southeast weather.
Yeah, not the sort of thing you want to be doing spray painting outside in.
All right, so that's just tonight.
That was just tonight.
And that's just in, like, a spitting distance of the street.
Yes, and tonight is the They Don't Talk Back preview over at Perseverance Theater.
Written by a local playwright.
Right, exactly, who's going to actually be, it's Frank Attass, and he's our wearable art MC, one of them
yay.
This year. So there is a bunch of theater this weekend, so you're going to have to pace yourself. Also, this entire weekend is the Platypus Con Board Game Convention. Goes on from Friday at 6 p.m. all through Saturday and all through Sunday. More board games than you had any idea.
And where is that?
That's at the Jack, too.
Oh, wow. Well, in with the old, out with the new. It's like, chop, chop, chop. You're like doing scene changes there.
Yes, it is. We're flipping this place crazy.
So you're talking about theater. So you've got
so
the new play at Perseverance, Frank's play at Perseverance.
Yeah, and that starts this weekend. And then we have A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum, a wonderful musical.
With Juno Douglas High School.
Yes, that starts this weekend. We have Home But Not Less, which is a play built on Alaska Voices. This was a set of interviews that Mary Ellefson did, and it's directed by Shona Osterhout. I think this is in the second time it's been performed. It's in conjunction with the Glory Hole, and they recommend it for age 12 and up.
And where
and
is
that's,
this?
Over at Holy Trinity
at oh, great.
McPheeters Hall. It's a really nice production that they've put together here. So
fabulous people, yeah.
And that goes this weekend. On Saturday, there's Girls on the Run coach training. If you'd like to get involved with that, starts at 9 a.m. on Saturday. As I mentioned, there's game playing all day long. There's a Gastrogenealogical Society is doing some things out at the Church of Latter-day Saints. If you're interested in organizing your family history, you can do that. The Juno Cabaret is doing this fun thing with the museum. They're doing a Great American Songbook series, and I don't remember which songbook they're doing right now. Jeff is madly finding it for us.
He is.
They will be doing. They are doing. If I have to
we're
read this
it like
really
a laughing episode. This is like so funny. It's like here's the news.
Anyway, they'll be doing Richard Rodgers this week.
That sounds great.
Okay, so that's 1:30 to 3:30 at the Alaska State Museum. It's donations on a pay-as-you-can basis. There is live acoustic bluegrass at Bullwinkle's in downtown on Saturdays at 4 from now on. At 5 o'clock, there's the Alaskan Brewing Company and KTOO's Tutored Beer Tasting at Centennial Hall. And at 6 p.m., it's followed by the Seafood Festival. You guys want to add anything about that? It's a fundraiser for KTOO, and it's delicious beer and food.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, so there you have it.
You got to go.
Yeah.
And I suggest you get your tickets.
I think that the tickets are available only through K2. So you'll have to come over here or call them to get the tickets. Or maybe you could do online.
Beer tasting is sold out.
The beer tasting is sold out, people.
Yeah, I'll tell you. Jeff knows
everything
about everything.
At 5 o'clock on Saturday is the auditions for Juno Dance Theater's Juno's Got Talent, which was an amazing performance last year. I had the real honor of being one of the adjudicators. So it's welcome to audition. All ages are welcome to audition. And we did have all ages and some amazing performances last year. So that is from 5 to 7, and it's at their studios, which is above Alaska Litho on Airport Boulevard. At 6 to 8 p.m., there's a Democratic auction at Rockwell. Again, you could see the Home But Not Less on Saturday. And also, there is the Awares Birthday Bash. Now, wait a minute.
It's upstairs.
Okay.
So when you're done with everything else, you
go
up to Rockwell, and Susu and the Prophets are going to rock the house. Because Shona's obviously going to be in, like, three places at one time.
I love Shona for that ability that she has. So it's Awares 40th Birthday Bash. Come dance the night away with Susu and the Prophets. There's sweets from Bee's Bakery, Chef Steph Copa, and there's a no-host bar. Sponsors include the brewery, Rainforest Pediatrics, Marms and Meats. And so go there and support Aware and dance. A good time. Sunday we have still more game playing. In case you hadn't had enough
of that.
It's
not quite done yet.
Because there's so many games. And you can see They Don't Talk Back at 4 p.m. And the Juno Cabaret will be at the Rockwell. And I think that's from 7 to 8 p.m. on Sunday. And maybe they'll be doing a little redo of the Richard Rogers thing. I'm not sure. On Monday, we have a Visit Sitka pop-up meeting planner workshop out at the Aspen Suites. You can go onto our website and get more information about this. It's also information at tourism@sitka.org. You could possibly win a trip to Sitka. So
that's a good thing.
Yeah, it's a good thing. There's Locals Night at Hangers on the Wharf. There's Tlingit Language Learners at the library. On Tuesday, Art of the Aurora at the Marie Drake Planetarium.
Oh, that sounds great.
Yeah, a talk on the science of aurora, followed by a visual display of art inspired by the aurora borealis or northern lights. So that's from 6:30 to 7:30 at the Marie Drake Planetarium, and it's free. So that's a fun thing to stop with. On Wednesday, it's Wildlife Wednesday. They'll be talking about eagles, otters, and wolves. This is at the Mendenhall Public Library.
Eagles, otters, and wolves. Oh, my.
All that sort of stuff. So, and also there's a weekly old-time music jam at the Alaskan Hotel. So stop into all of these things, and then we're building right up to First Friday. So
yeah, First Friday is
right up
next week. And then isn't the 31st, which I think is Tuesday, that's the Poetry Omnibus Contest deadline.
Yes, that's the deadline. And I did just have somebody ask about that. You can get the information and fill out your little application form online at the Juno Arts and Humanities Council.
Oh,
and
great.
She has her own thing. But
great.
You
but
can get
through
the
Juno thing. And that sounds great. And so First Friday, you have any...
You know, what we're doing is we're not going to take our show down. It's a fabulous show until the middle of the month. And in the middle of the month, we will put the wearable art pieces that are available for show.
So what's in the gallery right now?
Right now is our juried show, and it's fabulous. 27 different artists. There's all kinds of things. It's a really wonderful, inspiring show. Speaking of wearable art, I want to say we're down to 59 tickets overall. So if you would like to get to your see wearable art this year, get your tickets now. And if you don't...
I chortled.
If you don't get your tickets, we're doing something. We're in cahoots with the Hangar Ballroom and K2. They will be live streaming the Saturday show at the Hangar Ballroom. So you can go on over there. It's complimentary hors d'oeuvres. They'll have a no-host bar, and you'll be first in line for the pre or the after party, because that's where the after party is going to wander over to.
You guys are so smart.
Well, you know, a lot of people want to get involved, and we're just happy to have that. So it's very exciting.
So, Nancy, I have to ask you again. I almost ask you every time you come, but I have to do it one more time. So with everything that's going on at the Jack, how many people do you have on staff? Now she's turtling.
We have four full-time people and three or four part-time people.
And then you always are looking for volunteers, is that correct?
We are always looking for volunteers. We do still need volunteers for wearable art, and you can get to that link on our website. So I would be happy to have people.
When you talk about volunteering, can we talk specifically about what are people are volunteering to do?
Yeah, there's a lot of things, different things. With wearable art in particular, I think the slots that we have open for the most part are helping with the silent auction. And one of the things I will say is I know that it's a tough job, and I'm willing to do a thing, because you don't, if you're on the silent auction, you often don't get to see much of the second act. So if you are helping with the Saturday silent auction, we'll get tickets for the Sunday show for you, and then you can watch that. And the same, if you do the Sunday show, we'll get some tickets for Saturday for you, so you can get to see the second act at least. They won't be primo seats. They'll be volunteer seats, but they'll be seats. And we really appreciate the help. This is the biggest fundraiser for us ever in the year, and it's the number of people involved in this whole production is like 200 to...
Who's directing it this year?
It's Margot Youngberg. Mm-hmm. She was in the Vibrator play.
Oh, right,
she's from Skagway. She's one of the Red Onion ladies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so she's fun, and she's got a really good sense of what's going on. They've started the rehearsals, the model rehearsals. All the artists and their models have to rehearse for, I think, 6 times, so that it's really they know what they're doing, and we're sort of spelling out. We do need help also building sets, so if you have a little time in the evening, give me a call, and we know what evenings we need people coming in to do certain things. Akiko Roach is coming back, and next week we'll be doing some painting, and she would be happy to do sort of a workshop on how to do some of her special painting techniques. She'll be doing some painting the sets, and she could probably use help, and it would be nice. She's a great person to learn some really interesting techniques from. So,
and the MCs are Frank Tess and
Allison Holtkamp. She
right.
was last year's, too.
Excellent.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
And the proceeds go toward?
They partially, the Saturday show supports the operation of the building, and the Sunday show supports the individual artist grants and student scholarships. So it's two good things for the community. It's because we have this kind of fundraiser that the Jack can be affordable for most people. So trying to keep it that way. Come on down.
There we go.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Nancy,
sure.
for what
thank
you do and your whole crew. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back. Okay, so tonight at 7 o'clock, you could tune in to the January presentation of Mudrooms. The theme is letting go, and the stories are, as usual, great. So cuddle up to the radio tonight at 7 o'clock if you're not running around doing everything that Nancy suggested. Also, next week, February 4th, the Juno Montessori schools are having their annual Valentine's wine and beer tasting in the Rockwell Ballroom. The event runs from 6 to 8. It's going to be a fun night with a silent auction, a live dessert auction as well. And all proceeds go to modernize and expand the Juno Montessori School's outdoor natural playscape on Douglas, which is open for all of Juno to enjoy. So that's next week, Juno Montessori School's annual Valentine's Day wine and beer. And the number there is 364-3535. So here we are with the weather. It is still 41 degrees outside. We're experiencing rain and showers. Tomorrow will be around 42. Tomorrow night, we're looking at east winds 10 to 15 miles per hour, increasing to 25 miles per hour with a chance of precipitation 100%. And then on Saturday, we're looking at a chance of precipitation for 90%. So the city museum is having a cabaret in the afternoon, and that might be a great thing to do in the middle of the day if you're not game playing or seeing plays or doing what we all do on the weekends. So thank you for joining us. Jeff Brown is the producer and engineer of Juno Afternoon. I'm your Thursday host, Joan Pardis. Tomorrow, Andy Klein's the host, and that's always a party. He's going to be talking about the Legislative Loop Ski Race and then highlight the upcoming Innovation Summit hosted by the Juno Economic Development Council. Always a really great event. And then Friday's Fireside Lecture about an experimental forest. And then Sarah Schaefer of K2 will be in the studio to talk about Saturday's Seafood Fest. All that and more always on Juno Afternoon, which you can listen to anytime at ktoo.org. Thanks for listening.